think anything can be a bong.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt, and I have never smoked marijuana.
And neither have I. And yet, here we are watching a way too long documentary called California 90420. And I would like to parenthetically add with a question mark, the musical?
Yes, there was a lot of music in this wonderful documentary. And it made me feel really out of touch.
It also made me glad that I'm out of touch.
Yes.
This opens with a black screen and a voice saying,
you know, the first time that I ever heard of 420, I was told it was international tea time.
We hear what Amazon's closed captioning describes as a bong bubbling. And then we get the first of many dubstep music slaps in the face.
You love dubstep.
Aye.
It is your favorite genre of music. You want to start a band.
I don't think you need a band to do dubstep. I think you need one person with a computer and a desire to be annoying.
And a bong.
It probably doesn't hurt. Then we're told that this is the story of 420-somethings.
I liked the play on words there. Haha, I see what you're doing, movie.
I didn't know if, like, they were saying that all of these people in it are 20-somethings, because they are.
Wait. You know what 420 is.
I do.
Okay.
It's international tea time.
Oh, no. You went to private Christian school.
I did. No, I know what it is. Maybe they're just that clever. The joke works on so many levels.
The joke works on every level.
We go from a joke working on many levels to a person working on none. And her name is Alex, or Ix for short. She's at a pumpkin patch, and she's talking about how she's going to make a squash pipe and a pumpkin bong.
And then it's just like random fall fest pictures of her in this pumpkin patch.
I had never conflated going to a pumpkin patch with finding produce in which to shape a bong.
I think anything can be a bong. Again, never smoked marijuana, but based on this film, anything can be a bong.
Well, after she talks about her intentions with the produce, she says the following.
Weed is awesome. Weed is like the miracle drug to me. I think it's like fucking incredible. I really do.
I love putting it to my lips, licking it, baking it into butter and eating it in cookies. Everything that you love in this world will reject you or die, but not marijuana.
Marijuana gives you unconditional love is basically her message. I don't think marijuana does that.
I guess neither of us really know.
This is true.
I don't know.
I think we're going to be saying, I don't know, a lot over the next 30 minutes.
Yes. We're introduced to an area called Oaksterdam. We don't really get an explanation for what it is before we're meeting Johnny Five. He's a struggling musician trying to make it in music and cannabis. And then we see Ix is in the audience and we get a little sample of him rapping.
Look back at Bailey's and try to place fall, seeking different combinations from the same vault. Blame it all but myself for jet.
And it is dope AF. See, I can be cool like the kids in the movie.
Well, and you also did a little play on words there.
Oh, you are right.
You did not realize that?
No, damn it.
I thought you were doing the whole, like, the joke works on multiple levels.
Let's pretend I meant it. And one thing I noticed when he's performing is he is wearing a Dare shirt. And I gotta assume he's wearing the shirt ironically. But then as the movie went on, I was like, I'm not sure he's been sober enough to even understand what irony is.
we leave the little concert and we meet Dale. Dale is the quote-unquote face of Prop 19. And this is older legislation, like it was in 2010. The first time that they tried to get marijuana legalization on the ballot in California. And this particular proposition would have allowed adults to carry up to an ounce and have a small cultivation space at their home, but they couldn't sell any of it.
And I feel like I want to be clear at this point in the documentary that I'm fully in support of legalization of marijuana. And she comes across as a very professional, polished, intelligent person who's really, really committed to this cause. And I have to say, I did find her very compelling.
Yeah, I don't think that you can blame marijuana for X.
X has a lot to unpack. But marijuana is a factor.
Johnny got started using marijuana because he has ADHD and it sounded like had tried different medicine and stuff like that. And pot was the thing that actually worked for him. And you're not going to hear me condemning medical use of marijuana.
Absolutely not.
Good for him if he's found something that helps him deal with medical issues that he's having.
And dubstep in a way that is dope AF.
Yeah, it's about time for another dubstep break.
So we're introduced to Dale, and she says,
it doesn't actually allow the sales for adult use. So you can't just go out and start selling bags.
And then it cuts to Ix, and she says,
I sold drugs on and off since I was like 16 or something.
I'm not sure that Ix, if she really read the legislation, would be fully in support of it, honestly.
No. I think that the legislation she would find is still too restrictive.
Right.
She's very high.
Very high.
She says,
so high. I don't even know where to start. I feel like I have to pee, but it's like my whole body has to pee. Like I'm going to become the urine.
And then she stumbles down the stairs where she's living and shows us.
And we've got these bed bugs. Check it out. So you find a bed bug and you smash it and it pops with your blood. I have to go get this shit dry cleaned. Fuck, there's too many things to do. I have to get the bed bugs out of here. I have to clean it. I have to clean the bedroom. I have to get a job.
I mean, I feel for X because that's something we all unfortunately have to do as adults. Like, she's behaving like the most stereotypical stoner I have ever seen. And I actually wondered, is this film actually trying to convince us that pot is bad? Because she did not seem like someone who would be able to carry on an adult life.
No, but then Dale is very professional and seems very put together. So we do kind of waffle back and forth between these two kind of extremes of the pro-marijuana movement.
As she's like laying on the bed, listing off everything she has to do, but then she's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to go get some ice cream. She has not mastered adulting.
She has not. Ix says that her mom would say she's going to weed college. Now, I feel like for the purposes of not confusing our listeners as much as I was confused, we should maybe just say that Oaksterdam is this college. It's in Oakland. It was basically founded so that people can actually learn how to grow and cultivate and care for and process high-end medical grade marijuana.
I think that that's a really interesting concept because as legalization goes across our country and you think about how, you know, you want people who are really carefully growing and curing and all of that so that it's high quality, I assume. But I had no idea this existed.
No, I didn't either. So Alex says that her mom would say that she's going to weed college. And then Alex also says that her mom supports her the way Cher supports her daughter getting a sex change.
So she says Cher's daughter is getting a sex change. And I was thinking of Cher from Clueless. I don't know why. Maybe because of the California connection. So I was super confused. It took me actually a really long time to figure out she meant like Cher.
Yeah, and then we get a clip of her mom telling Ix.
I'm glad you found something you enjoy.
I loved that. That was so awesome. Her mom loves her unconditionally. And they mention her dad doesn't support this weed thing. And they imply that he has like a high level government job mm-hmm. and that Ix has sort of threatened his employment by putting ice cream made of weed in their fridge where the dad might have eaten it unsuspectingly.
Yeah, it seems like Ix has decided that one of the things she's going to do is expand the culinary arts by baking every single thing with marijuana and then storing all this stuff in her parents' house.
Right. Both in the fridge where her dad could get it and we'll find out later, like underneath the house. Like her dad's house is about to get raided by the FBI.
Dubstep break.
Dope AF.
Johnny Five is at some kind of pot expo, which we later learn is called HempCon.
I laughed so hard at that.
Yeah. He is also attending Oaksterdam. And Ix shows us that for her homework, she's making pot cookies. But she also says that she's going to use those pot cookies to help make rent because she's short of cash.
As she was saying, like, oh, I need to make rent. I need to. And I'm thinking, like, go get a job. Become a productive member of society. Stop living in your parents' basement. And she comes up with make pot cookies.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, we have Ix, and she's doing her homework. And there's some sort of question about, like, the electricity that's needed to power equipment for this pot empire she's going to be running.
Yes.
And she says,
one breaker belongs to one circuit, true or false? Okay, I think that's true, but I'm not exactly sure what a breaker is, or a circuit, really.
And I'm thinking, like, a pothead's gonna fail out of pot university.
I don't think she should be operating any sort of electrical equipment.
No, not even, like, she shouldn't be running her dishwasher.
Really anything with a circuit or a breaker involved.
Either one. Either circuits or breakers.
So Ix tells us that the pot cookie rent plan didn't go well because
I forgot.
Her boyfriend took the bag of cookies to the park. And a bunch of high school kids took away the bag of cookies from her boyfriend. And so she was like, well, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, there's a whole bunch of them. There's one of him. He's not going to, like, be able to beat up all of them. And you're not going to go to the cops and be like, these kids stole my pot cookies.
Right.
So no rent money for Ix.
My notes are all caps. Kids stole the bag of pot cookies. And I'm picturing, like, middle school kids just because it's funnier that way. Like, just like a little chubby middle school kid with, like, a bunch of acne being like, hey, man, give us your pot cookies.
Ix shows us her entrepreneurial side. She says that she wants to do more than just use weed to fix her life. She wants to use weed to build her life.
Yes.
And then we watch her try to roll a joint, and she's again really stoned and laughing, and she asks the filmmaker,
is it really hard to make a documentary with stoners?
And my thought was, it's really hard to watch a documentary with stoners.
We don't hear his answer, but I'm guessing it is a resounding yes.
I assume that anyone who would make this documentary is also a stoner.
Well, and in fairness, probably anybody who'd watch the documentary would be a stoner. I'm pretty sure we're not the target demographic for this film.
We bounce around a lot. We meet Big John. He's a general manager at a marijuana dispensary. And the only reason that he's really important is because Ix goes and talks about how the inside of the dispensary is what she imagines heaven would be like if God were real.
And then she humps a glass case.
She sure does.
She, like, doesn't just, like, hump it twice. She's, like, humping that thing like she's trying to get it pregnant.
She's very passionate and aroused by all the marijuana in front of her.
And I did not know there was, like, 300 words for pot. And, like, types of pot. And I honestly was like, you know, for a while I was really into loose leaf tea. And I was like, I could see, you know, you maybe are, like, wanting to try and see if you get a different sensation or something from it. But then I looked at Ix and I thought, there's a lesson in here.
But tea is a good example and probably a more analogous one. I was thinking wine.
Oh.
Because like there are things like the quality of the soil and the location where it's grown and all that kind of stuff that can impact wine. And I wondered if it was the same sort of thing.
But again, I don't really want to end up like Alex. Alex is like a cautionary tale for me.
Yes. Dubstep break. Ix talks about how when she was young, people thought she was going to be some kind of genius. She won a California State Poetry Award. She worked for a bunch of magazines and then decided that those jobs sucked. And then she talks about her requirements for jobs.
I mean, in fairness to Ix, most jobs suck.
Well, sure. She says,
I can't wake up early. I can't go anywhere early because I like to get up and get stoned, and it's hard for me to move around when I'm stoned, so can't do early. I have to be able to smoke on the clock, and I have to have the freedom to come in 15 to half minutes to half an hour late and to be able to leave that early. So the places I last the longest are the places that don't give a fuck.
But then there's like a card that says she's applied for a job at NASA.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I feel like NASA's going to want you to show up and probably not break federal laws on the clock.
Maybe it's a freelance thing. Because yeah, if she's writing on NASA property, I don't think her marijuana thing's going to really work.
Although, I mean, don't you think that in the 60s when we were putting a man on the moon, I suspect that there was not complete sobriety in the NASA headquarters.
Sure. It occurs to me now as we're talking about this, why did NASA hire the person who doesn't understand what a circuit or breaker is to write for them?
That is a really good question.
So the next thing that we learn is the thing that most surprised me about this entire documentary. Ix is 21.
Right.
I would have sworn that she was like 28.
Yeah. I mean, clean living is not something Ix is familiar with.
No. Speaking of not familiar with clean living, we have a story to tell about Ix and Johnny Five and some other dude getting in a van.
It's the stereotypical VW van, and the other dude definitely is a white dude with dreadlocks.
Yes. And Ix tells us that she has broken up with her boyfriend, and so she's talking about going out with this other guy who, it turns out, had a bunch of like pegs or something in the floor of his living room.
He's into kink.
He wanted her to tie him up, and apparently she did. So she says,
so I like strap that gag on, and I take his dick and I slap the living shit out of it. Bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, yeah.
And Johnny kind of interrupts her.
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? What the fuck is wrong with you?
And as she's telling this story, he keeps looking to the camera like Jim Halpert. this is real life right now.
I don't think she's lying or making something up.
I don't think so either. I don't think that Johnny Five thought she was lying or making things up either. I think both he and white dude with dreadlocks were fearful about what was going to happen to them that day.
I think they're looking to make sure that there's no rope within reach for Ix to get her hands on.
They're glad there's a documentary crew with.
You're right.
Just like, please.
Do not turn off the camera.
No.
So we're told that there are 700,000 signatures on Prop 19, which is enough to get it onto the California ballot. Dale talks about how she's been getting some hate mail and death threats. It occurred to me, because this documentary jumps around all over the place, like, it does such a poor job of explaining what's happening.
Yes.
Or why things are happening. Almost as if it is made by stoners making a documentary about pot.
It is almost like that. They even had footage of this debate between Dale and a blonde woman lawyer with a handcuff necklace. And even then, the clips that they used weren't really clear about what the various issues were on each side. I feel like if you're going to watch 100 years of a documentary, you should have a better understanding of those issues when you finish.
It makes me wonder if they could have started out thinking like, all right, Prop 19 looks like it's maybe going to get onto the ballot and that could lead to legalization. Let's do a documentary about this whole thing. And then one day they discovered X.
And they saw Comic Gold.
And they were just like, nope, stay on her.
Which was a good call because her portions were the most entertaining.
Well, I think if I had to pick one thing from X that was my favorite, it might be this next part.
I agree.
Ix and Johnny are on this little road trip, but the next time we cut back to Ix, inexplicably, she's surrounded by this field of dinosaur sculptures.
Big metal dinosaurs.
Yes, and she says the following.
I have a fantasy that there are dinosaurs flying around everywhere over fields and fields of marijuana. I believe that there were marijuana trees with big marijuana flowers that smelled like hash and purple Urkel. And just by inhaling the flowers, you could get high. And all of a sudden, this asteroid just comes out of the friggin' parting clouds and you know, like... And there's flames everywhere, and it spreads, and the dinosaurs don't know what to do, and they climb up to the hilltops, you know, trying to breathe. But it's just cannabis smoke. It's just like, it's the earth is a bong. It's a giant burning bong of pot.
This is like a very troubling picture of how dinosaurs met their end.
This is a better plot than the last Jurassic Park movie. I would watch this movie.
Yes, you're right. I'm not being fair to Ix. And she's a vivid storyteller because you pictured that whole thing while she was telling it.
Absolutely.
So I can see why, you know, she might be a really good writer. And then she like randomly talks about bacon and egg trees growing.
Yeah.
And the dude she's talking to is not here for it.
It would be really awesome if we were going to a weed, like, you know, growing place where they had, like, bacon and egg trees growing. And then we could have ourselves a fucking picnic, you know? We could just, like, mix all those ingredients together.
I don't know, let's see.
Well, it was more like a fantasy.
That story on the van has told him that he wants to interact with Ix as little as possible.
They're in Mendocino somewhere, we're told, at a local greenhouse where they're growing medical-grade marijuana. This is where, we get another dose of, like, Pot the Musical.
Dubstep break.
No, well, you would think so.
Oh, I remember now.
This is cannabis hippie guitar song break. This is Ballad of the Hemp Near Rhymes, where he sings...
I want to tell you all a little bit about a plant I know that can save the world. Grows long and tall and has flowers that can make your mind swirl. It's a funky plant with a fiber that is resistant to rain and mold. It's the strongest plant fiber known to man, the best rope you'll ever hold. Well, the pioneers covered up the wagon trains with a canvas made of hemp. And Washington and Jefferson grew it on their farms and said to make the most of it. Stars and stripes were sewn on him. First constitution too. It's around the world for food, fiber, oil, medicine, and fuel.
It was a very educational song. I mean, you learned a lot about cannabis listening to this beautiful piece of music.
You also learned that Ix crushes up birth control pills and mixes it in with her fertilizer for her marijuana plants.
Right.
And the documentary puts up a little card that says, don't try this at home.
Of all the things that Ix says, this is the one that they're warning you against.
Right.
There is no human in the world going to grind up their birth control and put it in their cannabis.
It's weird.
She's using it to fertilize the weed.
Yes.
Why would she think this would work? Birth control pills are trying to keep you from being fertilized.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic.
I mean, she's stoned AF.
She was just talking about the whole planet being a bong for dinosaurs, so...
Right.
Maybe we're giving her more scrutiny than she's worth.
There is a part in this portion where she does talk about weed in a way that makes me think, like, you can kind of see that she's actually a smart person.
Yes.
She sounds like, you know, if she laid off the pot sticks a bit, she would be able to maybe have a good job and a good career and maybe just cut back to, like, really recreational use.
Right. I think that by the time this is done, I was certainly on the side of, like, okay, like, if nothing else, she's one of those, like, intelligent artist kind of people.
Right. She seemed really bright in this portion.
Yeah. Well, her big plan is to grow weed under her parents' house. But her dad thinks that marijuana is Satan. And she describes him as, he's a Republican, he likes eating steak and watching Western films, and he buys tickets to see Cher in Vegas every year. But Cher is the reason why her mom loves her unconditionally. So you don't have to shit on Cher just because you don't like your dad.
And she kind of says, like, her dad thinks she's going to ruin her life by being in this movie. And then she's like, he'll never watch this movie.
Yes.
And I really don't think her dad could get this far into the movie. I think at the maximum amount that he could do is when she gets in the van and starts talking about her sexual exploits. I'm pretty sure the dad would just die.
Yeah, I don't think you probably want to think that much about your kids having sex. And you really don't want to think about them having the kind of sex she's describing.
No.
So we get a little bit more with Dale. She is marrying Jeff Jones in their union and marijuana matrimony is what they call it.
They work Prop 19 into their wedding vows.
Yep, they sure do. And very shortly after that, we learn that Dale is pregnant.
Yes. And she kind of talks about why that's a bad idea, because she's advocating for the legalization of marijuana, and she really doesn't want to be seen with, like, marijuana zealots while she's pregnant, because people might report her to Child Family Services or something.
Yeah. And she talks about how, like, basically she's trying to not really be around marijuana that much while she's pregnant.
Right.
I don't really know about the linkage between marijuana and birth defects, but she's trying to avoid it while also trying to rally people to vote in favor of legalizing it. So it's a little bit of a weird position to be in, I suppose.
It was. She's advocating that it's, you know, safe and something adults should be able to do, but she also doesn't want to be around it. But I did think it's probably smart. Like, if you're pregnant and you're an advocate for the legalization of marijuana, you do need to be careful, because there are going to be lots of crazy folks who are out to get you. And honestly, on both sides of the aisle, because it seemed like there were reasons for people to oppose legalization, like they would be charged more for marijuana because of taxes. And so it kind of seemed like there were people on both sides who weren't down with it.
Well, somebody who is very not down with it is Sheriff Lee Baca from L.A. County.
He has no chill.
He says,
if you want to do a marijuana joint in your house, there isn't anywhere in the world we in law enforcement care. Okay, just do it. Have a good time. Lose a little memory in the process. Get a little high. Instead of on football, it's a cigarette. And leave the rest of us alone.
I don't understand the get a little high instead of on football.
Maybe this guy is really into football. I was talking to a colleague today about this documentary, and she was saying in Michigan, they've made recreational use legal, but they haven't sorted out yet what that looks like. It's a lot more complicated than I would have thought than just like, hey, it's legal now.
Mm. So election day, we see a little bit of Dale and other people out kind of campaigning, and they're doing a big phone blitz. And they talk a little bit about how, like, well, it's maybe not the best thing that this is happening on a midterm election and we're dependent on people who are high on marijuana to go vote.
That is the weakest part of their plan, is getting stoners to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Ix can't even be bothered to, like, get out of bed to get the bed bugs out of her house. But, you know, we're going to rely on her to travel all the way to her polling station.
And it doesn't happen. Prop 19 fails. They did get pretty close. It turns out that they were under 4% of the vote needing to be flipped for it to actually have passed. And of course, now we know in 2019 that they finally did pass it. But
one of the guys who's like, it's trying to rally the troops at the end to make them feel good about how close they did get, made me think of Aragorn in Return of the King, just like trying to rally before they charge in. Like, he was super riled up.
On here, we shall go forth stronger, a bigger coalition, a greater commitment to making this change. The world has been watching. You have not let them down.
An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight.
Stoners are dramatic people. First you have like the apocalypse of the dinosaurs, and then now this guy.
Well, if marijuana is like alcohol, lowering inhibitions, I mean, I suppose. We touch base with a few of our principals at the very end. Dale has had a baby boy after 45 hours of labor.
About how long it felt like we watched this movie.
Exactly. Johnny Five is on tour and he's creating his own strain of weed called Oh Shit.
And he still has his Dare shirt.
He still does. And Ix got that job as a writer for NASA.
What the hell? I am a fine, upstanding person who has never smoked any pot sticks, and I can't get a job as a writer at NASA.
I wonder if they were interested in her dinosaur theory.
Oh, you know, that's interesting, because she did seem to have an understanding of asteroids.
Yes, but more shocking, Ix is pregnant.
Yeah.
And she says this.
You know, I could keep on partying forever, and I'd have a million great stories to tell every day. But, you know, if I have this kid, I might only have one story to tell, me and my kid. But it would be one killer fucking story, dude.
And then we see her holding a jar of change labeled vaginoplasty money.
Right.
So I'm not sure it's that killer of a story after all.
No. Well, and you have to think, is she going to sell those cookies to pay for that? But I have to say, like, I thought, you know, she sounded a lot more mature and responsible and like she was going to try to raise the kid right.
Yeah, it seemed like she was excited to have a kid and move on to the next phase of her life.
Adulting, finally.
Yes. I got to think that the parents are relieved.
Oh, Lord, her dad must be. Although, you know, her dad's probably upset that she's got a kid out of wedlock. You can't please that man. It's always something.
No.
Why can't you be more like Cher's kids?
Or just Cher.
Just to be clear, he means the Cher from Clueless. Well, Dave, I think it's time for us to talk about what we learned. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I did legitimately think that it was interesting to hear how some of the pro-marijuana people were against legalization because some of them were worried about the cost of marijuana going up because of it being taxed. And then the growers were worrying about the cost of it going down because it would no longer be an illicit substance.
And they'd have to compete with like corporate farmers.
Yeah, that was definitely a big theme of it.
Which is probably legit. Like when Philip Morris starts growing weed.
Yeah. But the other thought that I had that was a little bit more amusing is inspired by Ix. It occurred to me that you really have to be careful about naming your kids.
Right.
Because if you name your kid Alex and you spell I-X and the kid turns out to be a stoner or some sort of misanthrope or some sort of
wayward soul.
Yeah, like they're going to decide to find a way to go by the worst possible variation of their name.
Right.
So I came up with a list of just a handful of bad names that I think people should avoid for this very reason.
This is a takeaway. Get your notebooks out.
So I would suggest that you not name your children any of the following names. Elizabarf. Penelopuke.
Penelopuke would be bad.
Natasha. Fucklicity. And Cashity.
That is a great list of names.
Avoid those.
What you really have to do is say any of those names, but lead it with Supreme Court Justice.
I kind of like Supreme Court Justice Fucklicity.
Supreme Court Justice Fucklicity. Definitely, definitely going to get the job.
Yeah. What did you learn?
So like you, I learned that legalization's a lot more complicated than I realized. But I also learned that the pothead stereotype is based on some level of reality.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of always thought that like the way stoners were depicted in film was some sort of exaggeration. Not having been a part of that culture when I was younger, I just assumed that that was sort of amping up the stereotype. But based on X and to a lesser degree, Johnny Five and the varied cast and characters in this film, there's some pretty solid basis in reality here.
I think it's kind of like alcohol where like you don't want to be the only sober person.
No, you'd have no fun.
Right.
As Ix spends her time smashing bed bugs so she can see the blood that they ooze out, you will benefit from not being sober.
Fair point.
Yeah. I also learned that you can get a job at NASA even if you know nothing about circuits or breakers, which seem like critical components of anything NASA builds. But what do I know?
I think as long as you have a unified theory of asteroids, dinosaurs, and marijuana, maybe they're interested in talking to you.
Bacon and egg trees. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, she might be onto something.
She's on something.
She is on something. But maybe there's some sort of like fault somewhere that this is really how the dinosaurs died.
It's possible.
They were the first victims, and I my understanding is only victims, of overdosing on marijuana. I do feel bad a little bit, Dave. This one was a really painful movie.
I know you watched it all in one get-go, but I had to split it up because it was just killing me to watch this. My brain was trying to escape and looking for any kind of out.
I had to rip the Band-Aid off. I felt like if I even paused it for a minute, my brain would run fleeing from my skull. This was bad, folks. This one was bad.
Yeah, sometimes we watch things that are silly or goofy enough where it's like I could see sort of watching it, but I wouldn't suggest this one, even if you are high.
Right.
All right, well, we need to thank Tomb Dragomir for the use of our theme music. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. We need to give a shout out to our podcast friends, 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. And Jamie, thanks again for stepping in and co-hosting with me on this episode. And thank you, I guess, for finding California 90420.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime I can torture you with a bad movie, I'm happy to do so.
I feel like as much as I appreciate you finding the source material for our episodes that we've been doing together, maybe I need to go looking a little bit on my own.
But remember, this is my life's calling. God gave me this gift.
Yes, who am I to get in the way of you using your talents?
It's a natural gift.
All right. Well, until next time, everyone, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
There are dinosaurs flying around everywhere over fields and fields of marijuana. There were marijuana trees with big marijuana flowers. And just by inhaling the flowers, you could get high. And all of a sudden, this asteroid just comes out of the friggin' parting clouds. And there's flames everywhere, and it's spread. And the dinosaurs don't know what to do. When they climb up to the hilltops, you know, trying to breathe. But it's just cannabis smoke. The earth. is a bong. It's a giant burning bong of pot.